The extravagant lives of celebrities are an easy target. But if Tyler Cowen had his way, we'd spend less time making fun of celebrities and more time being grateful. Cowen's the author of What Price Fame? And insists the culture of celebrity benefits society.
That's correct. I think celebrity culture is a good thing. It helps us communicate with others. It tells us something about ourselves. We identify with celebrities. There's something to talk about. They're emotional focal points for us.
Does it matter who they are, what kind of celebrity? I mean, are there good celebrities and bad celebrities?
Well, some celebrities are better than others. But I think the important point is that when the world needs better celebrities or better heroes, that they come along. And we've seen this in the response to the September 11th attacks, that we now have firemen, policemen as heroes, and that's when we need them. In the ordinary course of events, it's fine if we look to movie stars and basketball players.
You know, it's funny, isn't it? I read recently that in New York, I guess, Harrison Ford walked into a restaurant, and ordinarily you would expect people to rise up and gawk and turn their heads, and instead nobody much looked, but when a fire truck went by, everybody cheered.
That's right. I think it's exactly that process, that the supply of celebrities is driven by demand, and in hard times, people know to look for heroes rather than just celebrities. In good times, we're happy with celebrities.
And celebrities are quite commonly now leading us in our ideas. The celebrities are taking positions on political issues, celebrities supporting products. Is that a healthy thing?
Absolutely. When a celebrity supports a product, the point is not that the celebrity knows much about the product, but that the celebrity is willing to put up their reputation and endorse the product, and the agent of that celebrity will make sure the product is a pretty good one. So this is a signal to consumers that this is a certain kind of product or a product that they can buy with safety, and this works.
It works, and it doesn't bother me very much when we're talking about toothpaste or even on a refrigerator or an automobile or something that's going to cost you money. But when it comes to politics, doesn't it worry you a little that which movie star supports the candidate is more likely to influence your choice than what the candidate himself or herself thinks?
Well, I don't think we have a lot of evidence that movie star endorsements, in fact, swing elections. But if a person knows, say, the political views of Robert Redford, and Robert Redford endorses a candidate, and the person then thinks that candidate's for me, I don't think that's much different than when a friend does it. And in fact, it's an easy way for that person to get information.
And the fact that so many entertainers have jumped the fence and become candidates themselves, that too is just a reasonable part of celebrity culture?
I don't see anything wrong with it. That celebrity has to run for office and campaign and win the votes and win the campaign contributions. And I may not agree with the views of every celebrity in politics or even most of them, but they're subject to the same competitive process that other candidates are. They have to convince the voters they are the best person to lead the district or the country.
There are some other figures that you quote in your book that I found fascinating and a little bit disturbing. You said, for instance, that more people know who Princess Di was than know who their own senators are?
That's correct.
Doesn't that bother you?
Well, it depends what we think is going on in politics. Every state has two senators. And what are those senators out there doing? Do we think that they're out there fighting for the best interests of their state and for their country? And I think in large part they are. And in that sense, the system works. We have enough voters and enough forces in politics that do know what's going on, that it enforces a certain kind of behavior from politicians. And if you have some number of people out there who don't know what who their senator is, while I do think that's a shame, I think that's something that's bad, it's still the case it does not mean the end of the world. It does not mean the failure of politics.
I suppose you could even say there's some comfort in that because it suggests that we believe strongly enough in the security of our government that we don't need to know who our senators are, all of us, and you can't avoid knowing who Princess Di is.
Absolutely. It tells us that in American politics, there's not actually so much at stake in normal times. And if you look at, say, the Eastern European countries after communism fell and they were searching for what they would be, what kind of system they would have, everyone in those societies knew who all of the politicians were and had passionate opinions about them. And this was appropriate for their circumstances. We're in a position where we have the luxury of not needing to do that, and we should take that as a sign and symptom of our political good health, not as a problem.
This brings us back, I think, to the question of how celebrity is established, how we get to paying attention to people. If more people visit Graceland than go to the White House, it's because Elvis Presley spent more time singing in our ears and appearing on television than Dwight Eisenhower or John F. Kennedy, even.
Graceland is also a better tour, I can say, having done both.
If famous people are entertainers for the most part, or Princess Di is the one who determines how we want to look, is there no sense in which it's taking away from things that might make us better people?
Well, celebrities have many effects on people, but one of the things celebrities have done is drawn people's attention to charities, drawn people's attention to the plight of the poor. Oprah has drawn people's attention to the value of reading books. So celebrity is a medium that can be put towards bad uses, but for the most part, celebrities survive by providing people with some kind of useful service, product, idea, inspiration, or whatever. And this will tend to be much more of a good thing than a bad thing.
Can you consciously choose to create celebrity?
People try to do this. In the 1960s, there was a rock and roll group called the Monkees who sat down and asked themselves, how can we make ourselves famous? And they tried to do it, and they succeeded. They didn't have a lot of musical muscle behind it all, but it worked. So one can do this. People who do that typically don't stay famous for that long. They become a kind of one-hit wonder, somewhat ephemeral. But again, those people serve a purpose as well. They're fun. The Monkees are fun. I still like listening to the Monkees, even though they might not have more than four or five good songs.
Tyler Cowen, the author of What Price Fame?